The first reading comes from the book of Acts. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her and laid her in a room upstairs, since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, who heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood with him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
If you would please open your hymnals to hymn 663, and let us sing together the 23rd Psalm.
Thank you. Our second reading is from Revelation. I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple, and the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand. We'll sing the refrain to hymn 711.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This is probably one of the single most recognizable verses in the entirety of Scripture. Perhaps one of the most well-known passages in all of the Bible. The 23rd Psalm is also one of the passages most set to hymns. So we sang today a paraphrase version of it as the psalm, and there are in fact probably about a half dozen various sung versions of it in our hymnal. The passage is often associated with funerals, and so sometimes I know when we say it, it often brings up a lot of emotions with us because it reminds us of various challenging times. Today we read it for a different reason. So sometimes we have in the calendar where these funny days that major ecclesiastical days and secular holidays collide. You know, every few years, I never quite know what to do when Independence Day falls on a Sunday. Or I remember one year when Valentine's Day, which for some reason is also the saint's day of Cyril and Methodius, I don't know why, fell on the same day when we read the Transfiguration, another kind of semi-major day in the church. Another year, I remember that Easter fell on my birthday, also known as the feast day of Matthewmas. But today is another one of those days where we have one of those secular days and a holy day that just happened to fall on the same time. So today not only is what day? Mother's Day, but it's also Good Shepherd Sunday. Now, I will say that when I'm preaching, I often find these talking about these secular days particularly difficult. And I think about when we talk about Mother's Day can be a good day, but it can also be a challenge. I remember seeing something on the internet where it said, where one person says, "Shake what your mama gave you," and another person furiously waves their therapy bill. But Mother's Day can also be a hard day for those who have lost a mother, or for mothers who have lost children. It can be a challenging day for those who experience infertility. For a lot of reasons, these things can be very difficult. And then we bring all that stuff with us, and then of course the priest says, "Well, you know, here we're not even remembering Mother's Day, it's Good Shepherd Sunday." Well, Good Shepherd Sunday is one of those days, it's not a major, major day like Easter, but it's sort of a little bit more than midway point through Easter season. Similar to how Advent and Lent each have just a little bit past halfway a Rose Sunday. But as far as I can tell, it's a little bit of an odd day, Good Shepherd Sunday. Because if nothing else, it sort of just reminds us Christians that, oh yeah, remember you're all barnyard animals. Which, to be fair, on Mother's Day, I'm reminded that my mother often inquired whether I was one. So maybe it's a bit appropriate. The biblical imagery has long placed shepherds in a very interesting position. A shepherd, for much of the time of the Bible, and probably even up to today, shepherds are day laborers. But in the time of the Bible, they were never something that was quite romanticized because people knew them. They lived off in the field. They are often out where it was dirty and dusty, and they were taking care of smelly livestock. They were never high in the social hierarchy. But from the time of King David, who himself was none other than a shepherd, the image of a shepherd for the kingdom of Israel became a symbol of kingship. And at the birth of Jesus in Matthew's gospel, who were the visitors? It was Luke's gospel. That was a trick question. It was the Magi, right? The wise men, who sometimes we call them the kings, right? But in that passage in Matthew, the gospel quotes the prophet Micah and says, "For from Bethlehem shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people." Again, associating this idea, the interplay of kings and shepherd. Now, of course, in Luke, this is not a trick question. Who came to visit the baby Jesus? There you go. You don't have to be afraid. That one was the right answer this time. But again, it's the same idea, the theme of the interplay of these two professions. And so it is with little wonder that the book of Revelation plays with this image as well. In our passage we heard today, the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, almost making a joke out of the idea of Jesus as both sacrifice and king. The Lamb becomes the shepherd. And then in the Gospel of John, we hear this passage where Jesus is in Jerusalem celebrating the festival of the dedication. If anybody can guess what most people call that today, you get 10 points. Give you a little hint, it's in winter. Mid-December, what's usually the Jewish holiday that happens in mid-December? Hanukkah. So Jesus was in Jerusalem celebrating Hanukkah. Which is kind of interesting to think about how the past and the present sometimes collide. And some of the temple leadership. Now this can be a little bit of a problematic passage because the gospel translates Judei, which should be Judeans, as in like local residents, as Jews, and then we get a little bit confused and people turn that all kinds of bad ways that we shouldn't. But basically, some of the temple leadership started to press him about whether he was the Messiah, and he pretty much said, well, if they had paid attention to his works, they would know. And then Jesus goes on to say, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them an eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My sheep hear my voice. No one will snatch them out of my hand. It's a reminder of Christ's kingship being one of mercy and grace. So what does it mean for Jesus to be our shepherd? Well, being a shepherd, Christ calls us and asks us to follow. He says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. We are all called to a vocation, a calling, each one of us. Now, vocation, of course, does not mean that we're experts. I mean, sheep aren't all that smart after all. But it does require us to trust in God, in Christ's presence, just as this church has been doing, trusting in Christ's presence, where all of us, all of you, still coming faithfully week after week, praying, caring for others. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And we go where we are called, even sometimes where it's a new pasture that where we have never been. Secondly, being the shepherd also means that Christ promises to guide us. The 23rd Psalm has this line, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It's an interesting image because we can imagine the shepherd walking along with the rod and kind of just seeing that symbol as we follow it. It's incidentally, by the way, the rod in this passage is the same word in Hebrew, mate, and it's used in Proverbs in the line, those who spare the rod hate their children, which, by the way, does not mean those who beat their children, as is sometimes wrongly thought. But it means to be a shepherd and guide your children. In the same way, like a parent, and maybe there is the Mother's Day connection, God is a guide gently leading us. Thirdly, being a shepherd, it does not mean that things will not be difficult at times. But Jesus' teaching does seem to imply that, but life experience tells us differently. From the earliest days of Christianity, there were martyrs, Jesus being the chief among them, and the apostles who followed. But God does promise comfort in the midst of trouble. As we heard again in Revelation today, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. But more than that, despite the dangers of life, there is promise of salvation. As Jesus says in the Gospel of John, I will give them eternal life, and they will never perish. With Christ as our shepherd, we do not need to fear, even in the midst of trials and tribulations, in our own valleys of the shadow of death. But when we are called to new, and even when we are called to new places, and there is great uncertainty, we take comfort in Christ's guidance and care. Amen.
Thank you for joining the St. John the Divine podcast. If you're interested in worshiping with us, you can visit us at 9 a.m. at our church, which is at 216 East Chandler Boulevard in Burlington, Wisconsin. If you want to learn more about us, you can click the link in the description or visit stjohnthedivine.org. Just remember, we're the one in Burlington, Wisconsin, not the cathedral in New York. Have a great day. Bye.